Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we got news and good sports coming your way. First, I'll tell you about Geico. People are apart these days, but they're sharing more and more. Go to Geico, and they're going to share with you, too. They're going to share about 15% worth of give back. That's right, 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers because Geico's committed for the long haul. 15% credit lasts the full policy term. So visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, this literally just appeared on my phone, so no details, but I don't know how shocked anyone will be. Just got an alert saying prosecutors in Georgia are charging all three suspects in the Ahmaud Arbery case with murder. Arbery was the young black man who was shot and killed while jogging in that upscale Georgia neighborhood.
That story. Yeah.
Yeah. It didn't get any traction until the video went viral. And so, I know we'll be hearing a lot more about that soon.
I was watching story about the cops that shot the guy at the Wendy's and the one cop who did the shootings getting charged for murder. But I don't get why the other cop who didn't do any shooting is being charged. He's getting charged with like aggravated assault or something. Yeah.
Wasn't one of them like standing on the guy's shoulders while he was already down, like pinning him down?
No, that was just a full Donnybrook where the guy just took his taser away and smacked him in the head with it.
Right. But after that, when he was already on the ground, wasn't he standing on him?
After he got shot? Is that what they're doing?
Maybe that's why, but I do want to confirm that before.
That's what they're charging for.
I think so. Let's get right into the cancel desk because there's a lot to get to. Mel Gibson. He is firing back at Winona Ryder, who claims the actor made an anti-Semitic joke at a party in 1995. In an interview,
that's no joke.
There's been some good Twitter lines.
A party from 1995?
Yeah. And it's coming out now, but it also was a thing earlier. I'll explain. In a new interview, Winona said Mel called her an oven dodger after learning she was Jewish. His rep tells the New York Post this is 100% untrue. She lied about it over a decade ago.
Jews are ambulance chasers. They're not oven dodgers.
Yeah, can we spin that as a compliment?
Yes. Wow.
Successfully dodged, I'd point out.
They're penny pinchers and ambulance chasers. But they're
money grubbers.
Money grubbers. That's right. What do you get the... Yeah, he's way out of line. Sorry, go ahead.
Tell me to me. She's lying about it. She was lying then. She's lying now. Winona first mentioned the incident in 2010 in a GQ article. Now, Mel has been cut from the Netflix upcoming animated Chicken Run sequel over the allegations. Gibson has a rich history of some anti-Jewish comments. 2006, he was booked for a DUI near Malibu, California, and allegedly said to the police officer, Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world.
I spoke to like a producer when we were sitting around in Dennis Quaid's living room the other day after his block party. He just said, Mel Gibson said, he was developing or something, and like Mel Gibson said to him, there were no Jews in the Twin Towers. Like the Jews were all told to leave the Twin Towers, and this guy was like laughing, and like Mel was like, no, seriously. And that was
my friend's dad who died in the Twin Towers.
Was he Jewish?
Yes.
Mm.
Now we have a he said, she said situation. We'll never know the truth.
We'll never know. But the point is he's evidently in on this shit.
Here's how fucking horrible Hollywood is. Mel Gibson continues to star in like international movies and make movies. Fucking Hacksaw Ridge.
Well, there's been some pretty funny tweets. I saw a couple people tweet the same thing because, you know, his father, Hutton Red Gibson, once gave an interview saying that the Holocaust was fiction. So some people have said like, oh, if Mel's dad were alive today, knowing that he does, that he believes the Holocaust actually existed, he'd be furious, calling him an oven dodger.
Oh, yeah. He's confirming the Holocaust.
Yeah,
this is a good example, like Mel Gibson's dad and Mel Gibson to probably a lesser degree than his dad, although I don't know how much. There are examples of real racists out there, and those people should be found and labeled and monitored. But you finding a PVC pipe that's strung through a rope and hanging from a park in Oakland, that is not it. And the problem with that is we only have so much bandwidth. We only have so much time to focus on this guy versus that guy. I mean, it's the sort of Al Franken versus Harvey Weinstein situation. There are real situations out there. These people exist. They deserve the ire of the society they live in. But we can't spend it on other things that aren't really problems that you have labeled problematic because you're seeing it and finding it in everyone and everywhere. So this is the danger of that. You know, we're going to get the FBI to do a full investigation of the jungle gym the guy had hanging from the tree. It's like, okay, but then there'll be something else that they won't be able to get to because they're spending time on what you want them to spend time on.
But is this, this just popped into my head as you said this, is this an example of when you say, I don't care if you're an arsonist, if you've never lit a match? Because Mel talks a lot of shit, but I don't know if he's personally ever done anything harmful to a Jewish person. I don't, you know, in terms of a physical threat, but he certainly seems like he has an issue with my people.
Well, I think there's a couple angles here. One is yes, I do want the rubber to meet the road at some point. If you are going to say you are this, you don't like these people, or you're going to, but you never actually put a plan into action and you're a taxpayer, then I don't mind you that much. I think there's a social aspect to this where you just go, you know, I'm that way with people over 14 who put ketchup on hot dogs. I just don't care to be around them. You know what I mean? You've crossed the line. I'll go over here with the I'll hang out with the racist. Thank you. You hang around with the folks that put ketchup on hot dogs past the age of 14.
It's not the same thing. It's worse. I didn't realize that. The ketchup is worse.
Well, for me, yes. And then there's situations like, you know, it's like there's people who love a certain kind of music that you probably hate. And there's people that have six chihuahuas or whatever. And you're like, I hate chihuahuas. Like, I probably wouldn't want to hang out with that person. So there's kind of a social like, hey, if this guy is anti-Semitic, and he never does anything about it, but he's just anti-Semitic. I wouldn't want to work with him. I wouldn't want to hang out with him.
He loves putting it out there.
I know. Yes. Sorry.
I'm with you philosophically in the obvious difference between someone who just has racist thoughts or is a racist in their mind and someone who drags someone behind a truck. There's an obvious difference there. But Chris, can you please just Google the simple just definition of racism? The definition is someone who believes that the one race is superior to another or believes that or feels prejudice. You don't have to drag someone behind a truck to be a racist. Mel Gibson is a really good example of someone who's, well, maybe he's anti-Semitic, maybe he's racist, maybe he's both. He's the perfect piece of shit.
Oh, you heard the hot tub tapes. I think he's pretty racist.
Right. But
it can exist in your mind, but if you're a racist, if you believe that one race is superior to another or some version of that, you're fucking racist.
Yeah, I agree.
But you say you need evidence, you need arson, you need burnt down building.
No, but I'm not interested in thoughts as much as I'm interested in actions.
So it doesn't move the needle as much.
Well, it's just,
look,
obviously there's also this aspect of it too. Are you convincing other people to think like you who may commit actions? Now that's another side to this whole thing, or a slippery slope side of the whole thing.
So far, there's, you know, there's a new doc on Netflix. Again, it wasn't a great way to unwind at the end of the day, so we didn't watch it. But I think it's called Rage, and it's about the alt-right. And, you know, there's a lot of guys that are pretty outspoken. So far, haven't seen Mel being the guest speaker at any of these rallies. So, you know, we'll see if that ever comes up.
Well, I'll get rid of racists. So we'll get back to good old-fashioned pedophile. If you're obsessing on pedophilia and you never put your hands on a kid, I still don't want to hang out with you, but I would definitely be more upset if you put your hands on a kid, you know?
It's an obvious difference.
I look at you as a flawed person, a troubled person, and a whatevered person, but there is a difference between physically putting your hands on somebody and thinking these horrible thoughts. Now, you know, of course, we'd like to live in a world where you didn't think those thoughts and didn't put your hands on kids, but I do draw a distinction between, I mean, I'm not going to defend Mel Gibson because I think Mel Gibson's
headline.
I think Mel's thing is, I tend to think he's a half racist and half bad alcoholic, and these things
and brainwashed by his father.
I was about to say, do we feel bad for Mel Gibson because he was obviously poisoned mentally by his dad for probably the majority of his life.
But when he's on the side of the PCH after slamming a bunch of drinks at Moonshadows and calling his female cop monkey nipples or whatever he's doing, or he's with Winona Ryder at a Hollywood party, or he's in a hot tub screaming into a phone, he's definitely loaded, right?
It would seem so.
I think he was getting a DUI in Malibu. Like, so I think, or the Winona Ryder party, this is drunken Mel Gibson making those comments. I think he's half racist and half alcoholic. And what I'm looking
for,
what I'm looking for is full alcoholic, not half racist and half alcoholic.
Yeah, call me when you're a full alcoholic.
Yeah, because he's probably on, I mean, you hear the recordings of him in the phone. I mean, I don't know. At night in a jacuzzi or whatever up in Malibu. I mean, he's got to be loaded there too, right?
It seems pretty altered.
Right.
He's so passionate.
I think there's some of that. Anyway.
Okay. Well, moving on, on down the line here, the fallout from recent allegations that Chris D'Elia had solicited underage girls on social media continues. CAA dropped him. That's his agent. They dropped him as a client.
I like people who have no idea how Hollywood works. Like, I read the headlines, like, CAA fires Chris D'Elia. It's like, well, they don't fire him. He doesn't work. They work for him, but okay.
Right. They parted ways, as did his management company, 3 Arts. And this comes after and the article draws a bit of a A to B. I don't know that we can necessarily do that. But the article says this move comes after Whitney Cummings, D'Elia's co-star on the NBC comedy Whitney, and that, you know, they've been friends for a long time, said she was, quote, devastated and enraged by what I've heard and learned about the allegations. This is a pattern of predatory behavior. This abuse of power is enabled by silence. Now that I'm aware, I won't be silent. Additionally, Comedy Central, Hulu, Amazon Prime, if someone can confirm this, because I didn't watch the show, Workaholics, removed an episode of the series from Workaholics, which features Chris D'Elia as a child molester. D'Elia has denied all these allegations that he harassed girls online. He put out a statement as well. And, you know, we talked about Jeff Ross yesterday, who did say Jeff Ross is taking legal action, which we always say, you know, is a tell that you're telling the truth, but we don't know where this is going to go with Chris.
This is another problem of where we're at. I don't have any idea what Chris D'Elia did in terms of breaking the law. I kind of got the creepy part down, but that's pretty old, like male comedians trying to have sex with women that are quite a bit younger than they are. I mean, speaking of Dennis Quaid, he's 66 and his new wife's 26. So that's
I have that story, too.
That's a little gap there. but I don't know that you need to be fired or have your stuff taken down. But I do know it needs to happen if you're younger than 18, for sure, or if you're a predator somehow. But we've taken a lot of these things like predator. And, you know, when I was a kid, when I was young, if you were a sexual predator, you had a fucking switchblade. I mean, you had like a duct tape and switchblade. You had shit in the trunk of your Pontiac that you would use to be a sexual predator. So now we've taken these sort of definitions and terms and we've broadened them out so much that I don't know if it's him being creepy or him being a criminal. Like, I don't know what he's doing. I still haven't found out exactly what he's up to. He's going on the road or whatever. He's trying to get laid. So is just about every comedian ever born. What is so different about what he's doing that's not standard creepy comedian fare?
Well, that's a good question that I certainly can't answer yet. But when I think about, well, why is this happening and what's the difference between being illegal and just being creepy? I think that for however long it's been, how many years it's been, it all comes down to advertising dollars. So everybody wants to distance themselves from the radioactive person because if people get too loud about it, if people start boycotting your product, it's like it's not an A to B path. It's like A to Z back to B. It's not that he's necessarily doing anything illegal. It's that, oh, you're going to ruin our show and no one's going to watch our show.
Yeah. And there's this, we're in a kind of a scary time, which is you go, what did Chris D'Elia do? And the answer is, I don't know, but I've heard about it for 2 weeks. So he's out. Mm-hmm. It's right. Like,
must be something.
Okay. But we're just talking about it, but I don't know what's actually going on. I don't who is coming forward and saying it was my 16th birthday and I went to see a show in Denver. And after the show, he plied me with alcohol. Like, I'm curious. I'm open to it, but I don't know that creepy is enough to get you. I guess it's enough to get you canceled now, but yes.
I don't know the ins and outs of the whole case, but even the text exchanges that we read here on the show were of the nature of like, how old are you? I'm 16. Oh, sorry, too young, right? Wasn't that?
Yeah, one girl tweeted that her friend had sex with him when she was a teenager, but there's not a lot of direct, like, it was me and I was 14. Right. There does seem to be a lot of secondhand information. You know what else? Yeah.
Well, it's kind of reminding me of you send Chris D'Elia a thing and he goes, how old are you? And you go 17. And then he goes, I'd like to, but you're too young for me. That means he didn't do it. he answered.
Yeah.
Right. And he said,
it's your example. It's creepy, but it's not illegal.
I had Chris grab the Dennis Prager defense of Kimmel, and the thing that Kimmel was getting slammed for the other day too is like Megan Fox, like I was 15, I was in a bikini, and Jimmy gave an appropriate response, and again, I just grabbed this clip because we were talking about it yesterday, and as I've said, Dennis isn't a fan of Jimmy, but he's intellectually honest and he's going to defend him on his syndicated radio show. We cut together a minute 30 and we'll listen. But listen to what Jimmy says. Why is Jimmy being dragged out to the woodshed? Here we go.
Jimmy Kimmel is in trouble now for this. And I want now, this is Megan Fox on his show, the actress, 2009.
I had just turned 15 and I was an extra in Bad Boys 2.
Really?
And yeah, they were shooting this club scene. And they brought me in, and I was wearing a Stars Right knee and a Red Boy hat and, like, 6-inch heels. And he approved it, and they said, you know, Michael, she's 15, so you can't sit her at the bar, and she can't have a drink in her hand. So his solution to that problem was to then have me dancing underneath a waterfall getting soaking wet. And that's
perfectly wholesome.
At 15, I was in 10th grade. So that's sort of a microcosm of how Bay's mind works.
Well, that's really a microcosm of how all our minds work. But some of us have the decency to repress those thoughts and pretend that they don't exist.
So he has been skewered for that. I thought this is a girl in a bikini and 6-inch high heels under a waterfall dancing, and he acknowledges and then says the right thing. Yes, that's what we think, but decent of us don't express it. That is exactly the right response. Exactly.
So what lesson do we have to teach, Jimmy? Also, hey, everyone, you're in front of an audience. You're trying to make people laugh. You have
I was
going to
gonna say,
that.
Like, a lot of the stuff on Twitter is like, oh, the audience laughed or Jimmy laughed. It's like, she clearly, the emphasis was clearly on that as a punchline. Now, she may not have been like, isn't that hilarious? But she was trying to, she was leading up to an anecdote that, you know, had a punchline.
Yes. He was, all right, so he handled it. Which is, yes, guys think that way, but it's our job not to act on it. Especially
as opposed to, you know, I'm taking a stand against Michael Bay right now, right here. Please join my change.org petition.
Well, again, it's that it's my Billy Bush conundrum. Like, what did you want Billy to say when he thought the mics weren't hot and Blowhard Trump was talking about grabbing him by the pussy? Do you want to go, hey, I have a daughter. I'm sorry. This interview's and you know, you laugh and you, I mean, you go along. People don't really understand that most people operate that way, especially. Yes, go ahead.
Sorry, that reaction would have been inappropriate because Megan Fox was telling the story where she was the victim. You know what I mean? Where she was the one being objectified. He did kind of hit Michael Bay with some shrapnel there at the end. I agree with Jimmy and I agree with Dennis. That's probably the right response.
Right. Okay.
And speaking of that, I just realized how long until we ban one of my favorite movies, Dazed and Confused. Because talk about an inappropriate relationship. The most famous line from the movie is Matthew McConaughey going, that's what I like about those high school girls. I get older and they stay the same age.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the most famous line from the movie. And oh, what a character and what a different time. And anyway, blah, blah, blah. But that, I mean, not only is that line, you know, it doesn't hold up, but can we watch that movie? Do we blame Matthew McConaughey? What do we do?
It's funny, Max Pat, we'll see how good the internet is, but there's a scene I always liked, and maybe it just spoke to me because I was a ex-jock in high school, and when I was like 19 or 20, I just felt I was like picking up garbage on a construction site. Like, I went from the star football player to like the lowest guy on the construction site, and it was devastating. Like, it was emotionally devastating. And in the movie Breaking Away, there's a scene where young Dennis Quaid was the star of the football team, and he's like standing by the football field at Indiana University. He's watching all the young guys practice, and he's explaining he just keeps getting older and they never change. Like, that was a sort of jock version of exactly what you were saying, but it was a funny, I totally identified with it. Like, you went from, you know, it's one thing to go from it's one thing to go from the apartment building to the outhouse. It's just the penthouse to the outhouse sucked. You know, like when I was in high school, I was sort of in the penthouse. I was a star football player. Like, it was cool. I had an identity, and then it was right to carpet cleaning and digging ditches. And it was brutal. And I used to just sit around and just think about, like, oh, boy, I wish I was playing football again, or I wish I was doing that again. But I don't know why I got Dennis Quaid on the mind, but that scene always reminded me of that. That's probably...
I have it. We're going to put it up.
Well, yeah, show it. It's kind of a poignant scene, and it's the depressing anti-McConaughey version from Dazed and Confused, but we'll... played for you.
You know, I used to think I was a really great quarterback in high school. Still think so, too. Can't even bring myself to light a cigarette because I keep thinking I gotta stay in shape. You know what really gets me, though? I mean, here I am, I gotta live in this stinking town, and I gotta read in the newspapers about some hotshot kid, new star of the college team. Every year is gonna be a new one. Every year is never gonna be me. I'm just gonna be Mike. 20-year-old Mike. 30-year-old Mike. Oh, mean old man Mike. These college kids out here, they're never going to get old. They're out of shape. Because new ones come along every year. They're going to keep calling us cutters.
All right. His wife.
Same sentiment.
His wife was born 26 years after he shot that scene. Yeah, but same sort of super depressing thought I had when I watched that that scene.
And Kelly from Bad News Bears is in it.
Just gonna say Jacques O'Haley in the foreground.
Another movie that needs to be buried in a landfill and never see the light of daylight again from that one scene where they introduce, I believe, Tatum O'Neill.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Bad News Bears.
Unsavory language. Yes. Unsavory language coming out of a kid's mouth.
Oh, it's a lot of N-bombs. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Well, moving right along, Brooklyn Nine-Nine star Terry Crews has announced that the NBC show is scrapping its first 4 episodes of its 8th season and starting completely over again to reflect the current social climate amid all the things that are going on. Crews told Access Hollywood, quote, "We talked about what's happening in this country and we talked about the shift of consciousness going on. They had 4 episodes all ready to go and they just threw them in the trash. It's like, we have to start over. We've had a lot of somber talks and very deep conversations. Through this, we hope to bring something that will truly be groundbreaking this year." So I don't know what they had on the schedule, but it went in the trash.
I don't know. You know, we're Tina Fey's getting rid of episodes from 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is pre-scrapping. Like, we're getting rid of stuff before it gets out. I don't know. The statues or the films or the aforementioned from other podcasts, Gone with the Wind and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. Going after the art. Going after the movies, going after the episodes, we're straying into a kind of a dangerous area here. Yes, Brian.
I agree with you as it pertains to all those previous established, already released things where we're taking a eraser to history. But in the sense that I don't watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but it's about cops, and in a sense that it's now and it's current and it might be just tonally off. I can kind of see it.
I get what they're doing. I mean,
temporary.
There's probably a few scenes or a few themes where they went, oh, now, how does this look? How does this look now? And there's probably that. Like, I think I would bet, knowing how expensive it is to shoot an episode, if you had just a funny episode or a good episode, you might keep it. But if you had an episode that involved a cop in a scuffle or a black man or a subject matter or something, that you would definitely have to preemptively erase. All right, let me hit JB Weld here, DIY projects. You want to get through a few of those? You want to save some money? Avoid paying the repairman? Good. We don't want the repairman in the house these days. Big or small repairs, home or garage, ordinary household glue. Well, it starts with the word ordinary. You don't want that. We need stronger and we need better. Proud to have JB Weld as a sponsor. They're great. I know the owner. Pros and DIYers trust JB Weld for over 50 years. Proudly made in America. Yeah, I was at SEMA in Vegas. I wandered into the JB Weld booth because that's the way I roll. Started talking to the guy. Said, they're up and running, man. I said, I love your product. And next thing you know, here they are on the show. Put it in your toolbox or your kitchen drawer, your craft room. Good for metal, wood, plastic, and more. Don't glue it. JB Weld it. It's available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Walmart, Amazon, Michaels, and more. JB Weld, man. All right, what else you got, Gina Grad?
Well, just I know that it feels like we're beating a dead horse here, but this is what is in the news. So before we move on to a new subject, your beloved Fortnite, Adam, I know you play a lot of it, though the family hates that about you. cops have been banished from Fortnite as calls to defund the police department gain momentum across the country. All police vehicles have been removed from the video game. A source tells the Wall Street Journal that Epic Games, that's who makes it, didn't intend to issue a political statement. They said, I just think it's us being sensitive about the issues many people in the audience are dealing with. The move doesn't affect gameplay since the cars aren't operable and are in the game basically as scenery and they're being taken out.
Well, it's sort of my feeling about when, you know, when you try to shoot something and they'd go, you shoot something on a sitcom pilot or something, and you'll go, all right, in this scene on the construction site, like this guy's smoking. And they'd go, no, we don't want smoking. And then you go, well, here's my point. Will you admit the existence of smokers?
Right.
And if the answer is yes, then why can't one of the guys with no dialogue be smoking on this construction site? And it's like, it exists. What I mean is in this world, there's cop cars. Evidently, you inhabited this world with cop cars because cop cars exist and they're there. And so then it becomes sort of distracting when you never see a cop car because we live in a world, and I don't know how insane the Fortnite world is. I've seen my son play it a bunch of times. It doesn't do anything, obviously, but also admitting cops exist isn't really the problem. It's bad cops, is last I checked. Also, I don't know, but murders are going up in a lot of cities. There's a lot of fucking chaos out there. And this notion of stand down and let the people handle it. I don't know if that's a great plan for this particular society we've crafted. I kind of like the cops, but we'll figure it out. Either way, it in places where they've basically told the cops, stay in your car or get out of the way or make, you know, keep a low profile. Turns out more murders and more criminal behavior as of course it would be.
Yep.
They're more. Look, people are kind of, as I told you, on the day of 9/11, I sped on the freeway like I've never sped before, and I don't think I was alone in that thought. I think I had this thought, as many motorists did, which is we're on high tactical alert right now. This is going to be the one day of the year there is going to be no chicken shit tickets. There's no LAPD guy sitting behind a billboard with a radar gun, and on this day, he's on his way to LAX or whatever downtown, or they're having a meeting or whatever it is, and I just sped. All right, I broke the law because I anticipated less enforcement of that law. So whatever it is you're doing, now all I did was speed. But if your thing is, busting stuff or busting people in the head, I'm guessing there's going to be more of that when there's less cops.
Well, and you think about how scared the people, the business owners were in L.A., at least who called into, you know, the Conway show or, you know, whatever, when I heard about it on the radio, people saying, you know, for the first time in history, it was very jarring to them, calling the cops saying, people are breaking into my store. Please come, please come. And hearing on the other end of the line, there's nobody coming.
Right.
Very, very disturbing, very jarring.
Agreed. All right.
Yeah. Well, moving on, we run the full range of topics in terms of coronavirus. Firstly, coronavirus hospitalizations in Arizona and Texas have hit record numbers as cases continue to surge in states in the South and in the West. Overwhelming medical professionals, that's according to NBC News, Texas seeing a big spike in hospitalizations as well. They focus on Arizona, though. Arizona reporting a record high of 3,591 cases Tuesday with nearly 60,000 known cases over the state.
Also, I'm going to be in Tempe coming up on the 3rd and the 4th.
Yes,
I'm Mary.
Yeah.
84% of intensive care unit beds in use. Now, we talked a little bit about ventilators, yay or nay, and you know, that was the topic. I mean, like a war effort. People stopped, manufacturers stopped making cars and started making ventilators, and now we don't hear about them anymore. A doctor who works at multiple hospitals around Arizona said they had their highest number of intubations last week, and based on what medical professionals have learned from colleagues in New York, he says the last thing you want to do is put these patients on a ventilator, but you can't just let them die and not get enough oxygen. You have to do it. So I think they don't want to, but if you have to, you have to.
I heard a doctor trying to theorize about what's going on. How come New York is not having a seemingly having a spike when New York got hit the hardest?
Yeah.
And then these other places are having a spike, and it's in the South or the West, and it's where it's hot. And he was also talking about running air conditioning in your home, that it's now vent. Everyone's got to turn the AC on in these parts. I don't know. I don't think they know, but it's strange that it's these regions. We used to think the heat was a good thing.
And the humidity.
It's all hot there. And somehow it's spiking there. But then why New York? There was hit the worst. They had all the marches and the riots and everyone out in mass on the street. And New York's is like flatlining or not doing anything.
I would imagine because, you know, in terms of flattening the curve, if you look at New, you know, like they say, flattening means elongating. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have cases longer. New York hit hard and is now on the downside. But I do have Brian. I don't want to cut you off because I do kind of have a new subject in terms of New York.
Oh no, please! I'll just say that, like any boring answer, it's probably nuanced and there's many factors in the answer. Like New York was the first to not the first. New York aggressively shut down and aggressively, you know, did their protocols. And places like Texas and Arizona made a fucking big deal out of opening up early. And it's not the only reason. I'm sure there's many reasons and many factors. But we're seeing, you know, we're seeing the chickens come home to roost.
Yeah, but what about the hundreds and thousands of people that were on the street a month ago? Like,
I have a story. That's the next story.
All right.
So that's why I said I have the whole chasm of is about as far apart as you can get. A new study put out by the National Bureau of Economic Research, that's in Cambridge, Massachusetts, says there has not been a COVID spike among places with mass protests. And it is, I read almost the whole study. It's just like a doctoral, like a lot of language and terms. So I abbreviate it and I just pulled, you know, pieces from it. So I'm going to read exactly from the abstract data portion. It says this study uses newly collected data on protests in 315 of the largest U.S. cities to estimate the impacts of mass protest on social distancing and COVID-19 case growth. And skipping ahead here, we find no evidence that urban protests reignited COVID-19 case growth during the more than 3 weeks following the protest onset. We conclude that the predictions of broad negative public health consequences of Black Lives Matter protests were far too narrowly conceived. So we are really all over the place. And again, like you said, with the air conditioners, the only thing that jumps out, one's outside, most are inside, you know, when people are getting these cases at home.
Sorry not to interrupt. Your precious beach, your beloved beach, like that's the safest place,
to be.
If you're outdoors, it's much, the evidence is trickling in, being outdoors is much better than being indoors.
Not just being outdoors. The beach has an onshore wind. So it's not like stagnant air, you know, sitting around in some sort of a basin like we have in the valley. The air is very much circulating at the beach. It does seem like the safest place to be. And I may have mentioned this on the show before, but I heard, I think it was Neil Saavedra on KFI talking about, at restaurants, the people who are getting sick are the ones sitting on either side of the air vent. Yeah.
Oh. Interesting.
In terms of air conditioning, yeah.
Well, I'll see you guys at Gladstone's coming up this year. Saturday. By the way, I don't know if you guys all have a restaurant that was on your impossible list as a kid, but for me, Gladstone's is on. you know, I mean, the Sizzler in Van Nuys was a bridge too far for the Corollas. But
you have a lot of restaurants that are on your impossible list.
It's true, but the Mount Rushmore was Gladstone.
The name represented, the name represented like an unobtainability.
It was, you know, on PCH, on the ocean side of PCH, right off of kind of between Malibu and Will Rogers Beach. It was like surf and turf. And
famous restaurant, locked up.
And it is like, no way are we ever going, like, the notion of eating at Gladstone's just seemed, like, it was more symbolic, really, than anything. But, like, every once in a while, I'd have some friend, it's like, oh, for graduation, we went to Gladstone's or something like that. I'd go, oh. How does that work? How does it work? Like, first off, how do you get there? It's on the other side of the hill. Like, we have a car that works. Like, what? Yes. Yeah, and it is every once in a while. There was Gladstone's, where the sun meets the sea. There was Gladstone. There were two places I knew of as a kid and were a bridge too far. There was Gladstone's, and then there was the skipper from Gilligan's Island had a restaurant off of La Cienega that was called like the Lobster Barrel or something like that. The Kip, what is his name? What was his, Bob?
Alan Hale's Lobster Barrel.
Alan Hale's Lobster Barrel. It was like a picture of the skipper like up on the sign and like lobster was in the title. You know what I mean? And it was on La Cienega right by Santa Monica. And I once in a while we'd pass it or whatever and I just go, who eats there? Yes.
Ever since I moved to LA when I was 17, and I think right around the time I moved, I think Spago opened, and that was always the one. Spago.
Sure.
I meet you for lunch at Spago. And like, I remember Christy at one time, we were married for like 5 years. She's like, you want to go to Spago? I'm like, we can't afford that. I'm like, oh, wait, we can. Like, it's just a fucking restaurant.
Well, that's the crazy thing. Yes, Spago, I've you know, it's like been to the Ivy or whatever. Nobu is still a bridge too far for me. But even when it comes to money, it's not about that. In an Adam Carolla, no self-esteem way, I'm not good enough for a fancy restaurant.
Right.
You know, or I'll get a takeout. I'll eat it in my living room. I'm not good enough to sit there.
I literally, Nobu on PCH, like Nobu and Malibu opened up. And I said to Matt, the porcelain puncher, I was like, can you get a reservation there? Like at 5? It's like, nope. It's like, can you get one at 3? Nope. It's like, when's the first one that, middle of August is like their first. Yeah. Their first open.
A doctor's appointment.
Yeah, and then you have to sit on someone's lap.
Christy and I walked in and sat at the sushi bar one night.
Oh.
Just walked
so
right in.
Nice.
So great.
All right, let me hit Tommy John. Find me Alan Hale's Lobster Barrel, Maxipat. It's going to make me laugh.
Yeah, we have a picture of it right here. And then,
it doesn't seem upscale.
Skipper Alan. No, but that's the whole thing. Like, it didn't need to be upscale. It's got the word lobster in it. So that's already, forget that. And it's got steak under the word lobster.
And it's a famous actor.
And someone's famous.
With his visage.
Like Kenny Rogers Roasters.
Right. And it doesn't have, there were certain markers, like there were certain restaurants that didn't have a lot of windows. Like, I think it was like Chadney's or something. Like the one Johnny Carson used to always go to after he did The Tonight Show. Was it Chadney's or Chasen's or something?
Yeah, the Mateo's on Westwood had no windows. It was just a big, Greek, you know, columns.
Oh, been there.
Right. Yep. There was something about that just made it expensive. We needed cafeteria-sized glass on the front of everything. This was, what was that? Across the street, Chasen's, Chadney's, or something like that, but it's where Johnny Carson would evidently go and have a few pops. I mean, Johnny Carson must have driven from Burbank to the Colonies in Malibu every single weeknight at 10:45 in the evening, completely shit-faced, right? I mean,
isn't the rumor that he'd get pulled over?
Five days a week.
Yeah, they would see it was Carson, and then they'd give him a police escort home.
I
was that the rumor
in the 70s. if you pulled that guy over on his way home, yeah, he got an escort back to the colonies. But he probably circumnavigated the globe at a 0.17. What was that, Chad?
It is Chasins.
Chasins.
Yeah, or Chasins. I don't really know.
Chasins. Yeah. Windowless. Yeah. And next door.
I have a picture of that one, too. It looks like it could be a strip club now.
Jesus. Remember being... Remember celebrity? When you were a celebrity back in the day, you had your own booth at Chasins. Mm-hmm. You got a police escort home when you're driving drunk. Now you just get taken out to social media and everyone beats the shit out of you. It's not worth it.
Out of Chasins. Where is or was Chasins?
Chasins was like directly across the street from NBC. Where the NBC, where the Tonight Show, where the Leno, you know, the Carson and all
Riverside
that.
Riverside Knowledge.
Yeah, literally just across the street.
It was on Beverly Boulevard.
No, different. Awesome. Different one. Max Pata. Across the street from the Tonight Show.
Well, the picture we're showing you is the one from Beverly Boulevard.
Right, but so this one was across the street. And maybe it wasn't. Anyway, I'll let you look for that.
It says that this one, though, it also was where Johnny Carson frequented, so that's why I was...
Oh. But then what was the one directly across the street on Olive and whatever from NBC? All right, I'll buy you some time and tell you about Tommy John's secret to staying sweat-free this summer. Tommy John's, summer ready. Ultra-breathable underwear and bras as well. Cool cotton underwear for men and women. It's like having your own on-body AC unit. I got to tell you, man... I'm wearing their undershirt right now. The stuff dries, oh, and the underwear. Stuff dries so fast. And yes, every night about 9 o'clock, I hit the rowing machine for a half hour. I cover 6,000 meters. I get off it. I'm drenched with sweat. And then I just kind of walk around the house and go about my business, and I dry off. It's insane. I mean, the sun isn't even shining. The wind's not blowing. It is the best. It's Tommy John. Upgrade to Tommy John. Do it today. Breathable, super comfortable fabrics. It'll be the best pair you'll ever wear. Or it's free. Guarantee. No adjustment needed. It's Tommy John, right, Dawson?
For a limited time, go to TommyJohn.com/Adam to get 20% off site-wide. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off site-wide. TommyJohn.com/Adam. See site for details.
All right, Gina Grad, shall we bring it home?
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
All right, Max Bell, what was the name? I don't think it's there anymore. I think there's something else there, but famous.
Not Dimples, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. What should I Google then? Because I'm having trouble.
Restaurant, Johnny Carson, across the street from NBC or across the street from studio, next to studio. I don't know how you, what you do. It's across.
Chadney's maybe?
Yes, Chadney's. All right. Well, I said Chase, and I said Chadney's or some version of that.
Right.
All right. Well, there you go.
I'm just saying Chadney's is across the street from NBC Studios in Burbank, but Chasins still labels themselves as Johnny Carson's favorite restaurant.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And he didn't go hang out at...
He might have gone to Chadney's, too, but I know when I looked up Chasins, they definitely promote Johnny Carson and among other celebrities.
Oh. We used to go to this... I'm thinking of this cafeteria on Van Nuys Boulevard called the Red Balloon, and it was like a cafeteria... Bad cafeteria on Van Nuys Boulevard, and it was such a big treat to go to the Red Balloon. All right.
I'm looking at a picture of Chaddy's. Definitely no windows. I'll send it to.
Yeah, it doesn't look very fancy, but I don't think that was the point.
Right. And that's Johnny Carson did go there all the time, along with Tom Brokaw and Bob Hope. So.
All right.
Yeah, it's NBC staffers, Warner Brothers.
Restaurant started with CHA.
Took longer than I would have expected.
It was very close to Chasins, in which Johnny Carson also went to.
I know, but I was saying Chadney's as well. And I said it's across the street from a studio like seven times.
But I Googled Johnny Carson's favorite restaurant. Chasins comes up first.
Oh, okay. Well, it's the across the street part that screwed us up. Anyway, I want to thank Scott Eastwood. Very important that we get to the bottom of this stuff. Scott Eastwood for zooming in with us. The Outpost is the name of his new movie. Very enjoyable. That's coming out July 3rd. I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. You can pick that up on Amazon. Should be replenished any second now. And you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. Watch us do stand-up over there. Oh, Chadney's under construction. They're taking it down. We're looking at a sad picture of it. Yeah, but no, definitely no windows in that place.
And I'm looking at a Curbed article that says Johnny Carson's like most frequent hangouts. The first three are like studios, NBC. For Chadney's, Chasen's, Mateo's.
Nice. He'll be missed, especially if you're a motorist or or pedestrian at night. So until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Gina Grad and Bald Brian. And Good Sports is coming up next. And Scott Eastwood saying mahalo.
Stick around. David Damaschek and Adam Carolla return next for Good Sports.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good Sports.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to your daily installation of hot sports talk here on Good Sports. Dave Damaschek here. Adam Carolla over there. By the way, very quickly, self-promotion here. New Daves of Thunder available, not just for your ears now, also for your eyes. Full episodes now running on YouTube on Daves of Thunder. Sorry for that, Ace. We finished up yesterday's Good Sports, and you did end up watching the new 30 for 30. I mean, now I guess a week and a half old, but of the Sosa and Maguire. What was your takeaway watching? Because I was in Chicago, and I didn't know if the whole nation was as captivated by it as I was living on the north side of Chicago during 98, going to tons of Cubs games that year.
I do remember very clearly going through Burbank Airport, landing in Burbank Airport. I had something to do in Vegas, some work in Vegas. And I remember landing when the Cubs were probably playing the Cardinals, and these guys were locked up at 52 or 53 apiece or something like that. And I remember sort of for the first time ever kind of getting off the plane and kind of hustling into the terminal to look up at the TV set to like see what was going on. So it's like very rarely does baseball sort of summon you to, hey, pay attention. You got to watch out, especially in the middle end part of the season. Wasn't the World Series, obviously. So I did get kind of sucked up into it. I thought it was fun. I watched a special. I thought the guys, you know, they both come across as very likable guys.
I agree, but if I can be a cynic, I mean, Sosa said it, and it's 100% right. And maybe informed by Sosa pointing it out at the top of the thing. But like Mark McGwire is definitely charisma challenge. Seems nice, but he's like has that. I feel like he has a sense of humor that is representative of about 80% of the human population, right? That like kind of very facile, kind of wisecrack kind of stuff. Like, what are you going to do if Sammy hits the home run? I'm going to do the bit that he always does. And then he starts laughing and the whole room cackles. Like,
right.
Is it that funny that you're going to kiss your fingers like Sosa does? I don't get the joke exactly. But okay. Anyway, go ahead, please.
They both seem very likable fellas, and they seem to have a friendly rivalry. And I don't even know if it even seemed like, didn't even make it seem like it was a rivalry. It just seemed like they're both just out there, hitting dingers. You know, they kind of touched on the steroid stuff, but it seemed pretty innocuous the way they touched on it. I don't know how much more there was to it. It sounded like, you know, well, the first sort of McGwire thing was he was buying stuff at the GNC and it's over the counter and other people took it and nothing to see here. I don't know if that got blown up or there's just more to it and they never really got to it.
Well, I think the thing is that they kind of hit on pretty strongly is that it's hard to indict them. It feels like it was told from Sosa and Maguire's positive spin on their involvement with it, which is to say, you're arresting us when everybody else is committing the same felony. That's kind of the upshot. Baseball knew it was going on. They could have stopped it if they wanted to, but it is interesting as it relates to what's happening now. Baseball shooting itself in the foot again. In 94, when they had the strike, and I don't know if you remember 94 season specifically, but the Expos were having this all-time crazy season. Tony Gwynn was flirting with 400. I don't remember. I think it was like 398 when the strike started. Greg Maddux was chasing Bob Gibson's ERA for the year, like had a super low ERA. Mitch Williams was chasing the home run thing before McGuire broke it 4 years later. Mitch Williams of the Giants was on pace to break it. And then they shut the whole thing down. It was like, who's going to go back to watching baseball? But then the Cal Ripken chase, to your point about like the everydayness of the Sosa McGuire chase, you knew like, oh, Cal Ripken's one game closer to breaking the Iron Horse's record, and that engaged fans. And then you had the Sosa McGuire thing. I don't know what's going to do it this time. I mean, like we already had the home run chase. There's no outstanding record that baseball fans are going to be like, all right, I know I'm mad at MLB, but I got to watch because I got to see what happens tonight baseball's greatness is the everydayness of it because there are no other sports going on. Who's going to come back? I don't know. Like, I think it's going to be a fringe sport when it comes back for a long time. I don't know that it's ever going to rebound.
Bob Gibson reminded me that there used to be Bob Gibson was the spokesperson for Primatene Mist.
That's right.
The inhaler. He must have had asthma. And if you can find a Bob Gibson Primatene Mist inhaler commercial from the 70s, it just brought me back. There, I had a couple things, weird things pop into my head. Everyone was talking, I was talking about this on my show last week, but everyone has been talking about this new government in Seattle. You know, they have, they've squatted City Hall and they're calling it Chaz. And I was like, I heard it about 50 times and then it dawned on me there was a cologne called Chaz and Tom Selleck was the model for Chaz, the cologne.
You're right. That's right.
And I went back and looked. Sorry, we're having a little technical thing here, but I went back and looked at some of those Chaz spots from the 70s and 80s, and Tom Selleck's wearing a cowboy hat and a cowboy boot. That notion, by the way, the height of elegance in a cologne was tuxedo, cowboy boots, cowboy hat, right? There could be no cooler man on the planet, right?
There was, it's funny, there was more recent vintage. When I moved to Los Angeles, it's almost weird to think that this was like not that long ago. Swingers, the influence of the movie Swingers, the Favreau picture and Vince Vaughn and everything, was so vast, at least in Los Angeles, that all the hipsters, do you remember? Like when I first got out here at the turn of the millennium, all the like hipsters would be in all the hip bars and they dressed in like zoot suits and like they had those big chain kind of things on their keys and everything. What the hell kind of weirdo behavior was that? And perhaps even weirder to your point, the influence of the TV show Dallas, people in Pittsburgh, my old man, I never saw him actually wear it, but he felt compelled to get himself a white 10-gallon hat. It was sitting up in our closet forever. I'm like, what the hell is this? It was like people in Pittsburgh in 1980 were walking around in cowboy hats. What kind of weirdo behavior?
Hey, you're right. Everyone was listening to like Big Bad Voodoo Daddy and Squirrel Nut Zippers and all these big bandy weirdos. So it lasted 16 months.
Yes.
I'll play you Bob Gibson for Primatene Mist.
I'm Bob Gibson. My fastball isn't so fast anymore, but this is Primatene Mist, the fastest type relief known for occasional bronchoasthma attacks. Restores free breathing as fast as 15 seconds. And Primatene tablets help prevent attacks for hours.
In the lungs, Primatene opens clogged tubes, relaxes bronchial spasms, restores free breathing.
Get fast relief. Primatene Mist.
Also, Primatene tablets contain the asthma relievers doctors prescribe most. Primatene.
I remember watching that commercial when I was like 11 going, huh, Bob Gibson's wearing a leisure suit. He's got pork chop sideburns. And I always have to start off with my fastball isn't what, you know, they always have to. Whenever I hear, I used to hear like Union 76 commercials for the Dodgers, you know, hit a home run and high performance gasoline with, and it's always like, really? Did somebody write that? Did somebody take the time to write that?
It's to your point. It's the point you always make about, like, why doesn't this big time feature movie production, they can't staff one person who's a baseball expert just for the little league scene to make sure everything is authentic. It's kind of the adverse, like, hey, Don is a big baseball guy. Like, maybe he should write that. Well, Bob Gibson was a great fastballer. Right. Like, okay, well, let's work that into the copy. That's good.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of fastball, it always drives me nuts whenever I hear Glory Days by The Boss when he's like, he threw that speedball by, say, fastball.
Speedball.
It's called a speedball is when you take cocaine.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe that's what he's talking about.
And methamphetamine and put it together. That's a speedball, Bruce. A fastball is what you're trying to talk about, but you're not doing a good job of delivering it.
Glory.
And I'm always wondering, that sounded
it was
more
so
like,
glorious.
That sounded like Cher more than Bruce, but I'm always wondering, is there nobody in the studio that raises their hand and goes, look, you can say fastballs easily as you can say speedball. Speedball's confusing. Fastball is the term you're looking. You're talking about a baseball player, right?
Come on, little Steven. You don't know. You don't know that the boss is he's too intimidating, the step two. Come on. You're both 5'8" guys. You could tell him.
All right, I'll tell you about Bet Online Sports. They're slowly coming back. UFC, NASCAR, boxing, soccer. Bet Online, best odds, best lines for upcoming games. It's going to be nice when everything gets back to normal. But UFC's, man, they're doing it. NASCAR's doing it. Boxing, soccer, yeah, they're all up and running. Want to put a wager in on one of those sports? Go ahead, be my guest at Bet Online. Also, live casino games, poker tournaments, best props in the business. Visit betonline.ag or use your mobile device with promo code podcast1 to sign up. You get your sign-up bonus. So you go to betonline.ag, you use the promo code podcast1, and you get a bonus to sign up and get started and have some fun. Visit betonline.ag, our exclusive partner here at Podcast One. And don't forget, use the promo code podcast1. For the sign-up bonus.
Good times, Ace. More good times for your ears await on Friday's episode of Good Sports. Until then, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damaschek, Good Sports out. Good
Sports! Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And make sure you pick up Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's available across all formats. Get the link at adamcarolla.com.